day. In a world where life's unkind, we search for answers we can't find. You are safe here, take my hand, you're not alone. Today, when you're lost and so confused, just believe you can lose. Only selfless love can be a gift to anyone. Raise our hands, let's raise our voice. Let's show the world we have just begun. As God's children, we are one. We are one family. Share the treasures in your heart. Oh, the time is now. Let Him show us how to come together, a brand new start. Only selfless love. Selfless love, let the voice in your heart be heard. Every father, mother, family, every home. Faith and hope remain. Let peace and mercy reign. Life begins and ends in God's embrace. We are one family. With only selfless love.
Good morning, listeners. Once more, it's Family Matters with me, Tony Rowland, bringing you the good news of family love on Radio Veritas, which brings us, of course, the good news for a change. And our good news today on this, the second day of the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. I think that the good news, partly, or the bad news, is that family life and marriage and relationships can be a very meaningful answer, a very meaningful response to the scourge of gender-based violence that happens all over the world, not only in South Africa, even though we are probably one of the greatest, or let's say the worst cases of gender-based violence. Yeah, so what are we going to talk about today? Well, you know, Sunday was Christ the King. So we do want to celebrate with Christ, with Jesus. And I'm going to be talking about gender-based violence from a family perspective. So that's where Christ our King does come in. We also are reflecting on the fact that the Pope, Pope Leo, is off on a pilgrimage of his own, I suppose we could say, to Turkey to visit Ankara, Istanbul, and then he goes off to Lebanon, but he's actually going there to meet with people from other Christian denominations because we are all celebrating the Nicene Creed, 1700 years of the Nicene Creed. But I'm very interested also that he will be going to a mosque or two and meeting with other faith families, not only Christians. So that's the point that I was trying to check up on this morning, and I discovered that he will be doing that, you know, following in the footsteps of Pope Francis in many ways. I haven't found much difference in their approach up to now. Then about gender-based violence, which is very much our focus is in the 16 days of activism. My topic is ending violence in families in the FBO sector. And later on in our program, we will be conducting an interview with someone who I've met before and not got to know well, but know about, Marisha Leiker. She and her husband are part together with many other people, they're part of Heartlands, but they're also of the collective of We Will Speak Out Against Gender-Based Violence, of which the Faith Action Against Gender-Based Violence is another role player. And MAFAM is part of that group as well, or I don't know about MAFAM, or certainly I've been part of the We Will Speak Out group. So that's where our contact, our connection with Marisha has come from, and we'll be speaking later on in the program. Well, I probably need to mention as well that Advent is starting on Sunday. The first Sunday of Advent is on the 30th of November, so it's still during this month of November, focusing on loss. But my MAFAM little booklet and our theme for December is Family in Creation, Hope for the World. So this topic of hope, of course, picks up the Jubilee focus on hope. And my eco-friendly family focus comes across as well in that. But we're speaking about hope. We're speaking about the poor, the cry of the poor, the cry of the earth. All of those topics and themes appear in our Advent and Christmas booklet, which is available now from me. And then a nice thing in that booklet is a children's piece pilgrimage. It's not just an activity for children, it's a family activity, but it's a pilgrimage of children from different war-torn places around the world who go off to Bethlehem for a peace meeting. So that's a story, and that runs through part of this little program. It's available on our website, www.mafam.org.za. Well, yeah, day by day on the website, or otherwise all the thoughts for the month will be posted as a PDF document for you to download if you want to download them all. Or you can get the booklet from me for 25 Rand from Tony on 082-552-1275. And otherwise send us an email, tony@mafam.org.za. And I'll tell you all about our Advent, Christmas, some resource materials. We have prayers for an Advent wreath and reflections for a Jesse tree and a family reconciliation service. Many other activities that could be done during this season of Advent. And that we'll be talking about, of course, in much more detail next week. But for now, I need to go back to our 16 days of activism and our family violence. And before that, we're going to have some music. And the music is Love Divine or Love's Excelling. And is anything not the answer to gender-based violence, but love? Love in the home, love in our families, love in the world, God's love. So let's listen to our music and carry on with our program. Wasn't that a wonderful, wonderful rendition of Love Divine or Love's Excelling? And as a matter of interest, it was sung by the Westminster Abbey Choir. And The actual hymn was composed by Charles Wesley. So there is very much an interdenominational focus there. The Anglican Westminster Abbey, the Methodist Charles Wesley, and it's part of our Catholic and Christian resource of hymns. So love is the answer. I like to say that. Our theme for today, 16 days of activism, and how can we help end violence in families? My picture, my theme, logo, image is Faith Action to End Gender-Based Violence. And this is my newsletter. And there's a picture there in the newsletter of the red chair. And you definitely need to go and look up the red chair. And so I begin. Whether it is a red chair campaign or a red rag to a bull, much is to be said for a campaign that highlights the ongoing scourge of gender-based violence and femicide, which is once again being designated a national disaster in South Africa. Why is this issue such a permanent feature on the national agenda, which never seems to be resolved satisfactorily? Is there support or resistance? Is the whole topic too challenging, demanding action and change, which is not happening? Like other forms of evil in the world, issues around climate change or corruption, is it likely to be with us forever? Is there not sufficient love, goodwill, or a sense of the common good that can conclusively end it? I've been a catechist and sexuality educator over time, as well as being active in marriage and family ministry, including hurting marriages. And sexuality has to be promoted positively while recognizing that conflict exists and that abuse happens, mainly by men against women. Sexuality will always be an extremely complex matter, but I believe it should also be addressed from a relational, family-focused aspect rather than from individuals in isolation. This focus was also the basis of the South African Department of Social Development's Family Directorate over the years that I've been a civil society part of that group. Dealing with GBV or IPV and femicide has been on the public agenda, right, for a long time, particularly in South Africa. There are many faces and many facets. Many proposals and strategic plans have been developed in recent years. The President's National Strategic Plan 2020 to 2030 has not yet been implemented. My most recent involvement has been with the Faith Action Collective, which is part of We Will Speak Out, which is www.wwwsosa.org.za. That stands for We Will Shout Speak Out South Africa at org.za. And that's related, my involvement was related to the 2020 COVID pandemic. The problem there was exacerbated by the stresses on families and relationships from isolation, insecurity, and financial hardship in the unnatural circumstances. My interest in We Will Speak Out South Africa was its faith-based focus, with participants of different churches and other faith communities. The objectives were to create a society free of GBV through prevention, education, and survivor support. In my own work, I came to believe that a focus should not be specifically on women, who are the main functions, or men, but more holistically on families as the larger context in which women and men boys and girls, male and female persons of all ages interact and live their daily lives. I remain committed to the family perspective of the program introduced by the South African Catholic Bishops Conference in 2018. In different dioceses around the country, it was run. And the program was How to End Violence in Catholic Families, and it was put together by an American psychologist, Dr. Chrisaria Welland. We then, as a small working group in the South African Faith Action Collective, which is part of the interdenominational We Will Speak Out group, we had received permission to adapt the Catholic program for more interreligious use, but the lack of funding has prevented further development of the Training for Trainers workshops. There are, as I said, many faces and many facets, many types of abuse, physical, sexual, mental, emotional, economic, religious, and probably more. Yes, men are the main perpetrators of the actual violence, especially the intimate partner violence, and there is no justification for that violence. However, a major contributing factor is how women's attitudes and behavior are also a form of the different types of abuse. Pope Francis, writing in his book on the family, Amoris Laetitia, he was writing on family crises and forgiveness, and he wrote, "In resolving sincerely to forgive the other, each has to ask quietly and humbly if he or she has not somehow created the conditions that led to the other's mistakes. The arduous act of reconciliation, which requires the support of grace, needs the generous cooperation of relatives and friends, and sometimes outside help and professional assistance," which is what we're talking about in this campaign. It is from Amoris Laetitia, number 236, if you want to look up that quotation. I think it's a valuable contribution to the program. All family relationships are stressful and display different forms of abuse, but coping mechanisms are skills to be learned in family formation and education. If a committed and successful marriage as a source of societal well-being was experienced and promoted, it could help. If families dealt with cultural issues of patriarchy as a couple, it could help. If intergenerational interaction and if meaningful, tolerant, and accepting family communication was promoted and practiced, it would help. Not all cases of gender-based violence happen within families, but in the majority of cases, there is some level of relationships. How can more positive relationship skills across the board be developed to empower everyone to deal with conflict? Start with children, adolescents, in the home, and their social interactions. Can religious education programs be more life-centered? If sexuality is a gift and is all about love, and God, who is love, what does a loving God say to us about our lives and how we can cause so much harm to one another through misuse and abuse of sex? This is the place where love should be present in a beating and not a bleeding heart. Campaigns have a very important place in raising awareness and red-lighting needs. And I've been involved and supportive in various ways over time. The Red Chair campaign, which is drawing attention to women who no longer have a place, and society, which has no place for them, does draw attention to that reality. We've just had an opportunity to commemorate and celebrate International Men's Day. Is there a possibility that men, almost across the board, are habitually blamed and maybe made somehow to feel guilty? Can this be in any way the proverbial red rag to a bull, alienating them and aggravating a situation which requires serious personal reflection and consideration of life-giving rather than life-destroying actions to address this painful reality affecting every family member so drastically? As believers, as we speak out, let us also pray for those who suffer and have lost their lives and those who have lost their way. Those are my thoughts on how to end violence in families, domestic violence in families. And I hope that that food for thought is published in my weekly e-newsletter, which gets sent out to email subscribers, others on Facebook, others on WhatsApp. But it's available. It's available on our MAFAM website for you to think about. And so we have another music break, and we have Our Father, We Have Wandered and Hidden from Your Face. Good morning. I believe we have our guest on board. Marisha, welcome. Marisha Naka. I think you have unmuted, so we can start our chat. Welcome.
Thank you, Tony, and good morning to the listeners as well. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, I was very excited when I asked the We Will Speak at the WWSOSA group on Monday for someone to join in on the Red Chair campaign, and she suggested that you be part of the interview. So I'm really happy because we have met before, you remember. But first of all, I'm trying to rearrange my screen here. There we go. There we go. Marisha, introduce yourself a little bit before we start on the other business, please.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. So my name is Marisha Singh Naika, and I work with the Faith Action Collective to end gender-based violence, of which We Will Speak Out South Africa is our secretariat. And we are diverse people of faith who are speaking out, who are standing up, who are collaborating together. We're sharing knowledge and then disrupting harmful norms. And then we act decisively as well with survivors in the center to end gender-based violence and femicide, to create communities and families that are more harmonious and just. And then I'm also a family and relationship therapist and a local faith leader in the Uniting Reformed Church.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I'm looking at you and listening to your name, and it's a Naika. And I know another Naika, a young man Dylan Nyka. Do you know Dylan at all?
No, no.
You haven't
So
come
Nyka,
across him. Yeah.
No, Nyka is my surname through marriage, and Singh
Yes.
is my, yeah.
Yeah,
So there's
right.
lots of Nykas and Singhs out there.
And Seth is your husband?
And Seth Nyka is my husband, yes. So that's where
Right.
the Nyka comes from. And he's also involved in the gender justice work and just reconciliation work as well. And a faith leader.
And a faith leader. And also, I think I first came across Heartlines, which is very much where, you know, where your involvement is as well, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So I am a community and church mobilizer at Heartlines, which is a social change organization, a value promotion center. We come alongside families, churches, schools, communities, to looking what's wrong in their communities and helping them do what's right to fix that. And we have a lot of media that can be used, from videos to workshops to guideline manuals that can help people connect in small groups, even for families and in churches as well, to be able to talk about these tough issues, about what we are facing, and then seeing how we can work together to make sure that our communities are safer, are more harmonious, and more just.
Yes, and I know another thing about you and Seth, is that he's very much involved with the Fatherhood program.
Yes, absolutely. So we know that in South Africa, about 65% of children grow up without their biological dads. And that is, you know, because of the historical injustices, the multi-generational trauma, just the hurt and pain that many families have experienced, the brokenness and many challenges, you know, from socioeconomic issues as well, that we see this. And because of this, it puts children at a higher risk when there isn't an active, positive presence of a father in the lives of children, for a whole range of issues, from, you know, either being victims or perpetrators of gender-based violence, of them having, you know, even developmental, more likely to develop, you know, intellectual and developmental issues, even from teenage pregnancy. So there's a whole range of issues that when we see that men who are not actively and positively present. And so it's really needed for families to be whole and healed, so that we can see, you know, fathers involved in a wonderful way with their children. And so that's what the Fatherhood, or what we call Fathers Matter project, is about. And we are looking to see how we can come alongside families and help them through this. We have different movies, we have discussion guides, and then even just workshops, you know, for if it's in a youth group, or if it's in a school, or if it's for a family, or even for a church, how can they start to have these conversations?
Yeah. And, you know, so it's a very, you know, I mean, I asked you all those questions, or, you know, I didn't just want to talk about the women's issue, because, you know, my focus with dealing with gender-based violence is really from a family perspective. And I think that is very much your approach as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of the experiences that we have shaped us, you know, starts within families, whether they are positive or negative. And it really has, or gives us, a foundation for many of the relationships that we would have later on in life. And so, for example, when we're talking about father absence, we're seeing that many people have a father wound. And at times they would, you know, react, or I guess, you know, think about their own self-worth through that lens. And it's same too for, you know, if you've had a mother wound, or if you've had, you know, as a child experienced a trauma or abuse, or, for example, were neglected or there was some hurt and pain. And if that hurt and pain and trauma has not been resolved or transformed, we're more likely then to transmit that. So often what I say in my work, that trauma that is not transformed is transmitted or transferred. And that's for every single person. You know, if we are not able to really, in ways, find healing, and whatever in whatever ways that we can, we are more likely then to bleed on each other, which is what we're seeing in this landscape of gender-based violence, of why many women who are killed in South Africa. Look, we know in South Africa we are a violent nation, you know, in general, that there's a lot of people killed each day. A lot of men are killed. However, we know that the women that are killed are mainly killed, or over 50% killed, by somebody that they know. And that's what gender-based violence is about, is that women are being killed by mainly by people that they know. And that says something about what is happening in our families. What is happening where it's saying that, you know, people who profess to love us, to care for us, but yet when it comes to us being safe in our homes, we are not. So what's going on? And that's why we've chosen as well to look at what is transformative masculinities, where men being groomed from a young age to say, you shouldn't cry as a boy. You must be strong, and you must be manly, and you must be a protector, and you must be a disciplinarian, which is meant in many ways they have to carry themselves in a very firm and hard way, because that's what's seen as the strong man. And we've seen now through research that men, when men are not able to process their emotions in a positive way, when they are not able to deal with it, and when they suppress it, we know that eventually, if you keep telling a little boy, don't cry, and he keeps suppressing that, eventually when he grows up and has throughout his childhood and throughout his life, he's going to express it in very violent ways. And that's why we see men becoming more angry, becoming and showing that and portraying that anger in very violent ways. So if they don't cry tears, they're going to cry bullets and punches.
Yeah. But, you know, don't you think that, you know, say girl children and women are also traumatized, also have that father wound from their past? But, you know, I mean, this is possibly a subject we could talk to again in a different, maybe slightly different context. But where does the Red Chair campaign come into all this?
Okay, and so the Red Chair campaign comes in a way of not just bringing awareness to what is happening over the 16 days, because I think the 16 days of activism, there's so much that can be done. And we are saying, look, here's what you can do. And it's quite a easy way to be able to really deal with what does this gender-based violence mean. And so it runs globally, and it just involves reserving an empty chair in a public place or in your church. And alongside it, you could put a red cloth or red blanket symbolizing the lives that have been killed through gender-based violence, and then alongside it, you place information about domestic abuse, about gender-based violence, where you can get help, what you can do. So this empty chair or pew or even a mat, because some people have contextualized it for their space, it becomes a powerful symbol of the many women who have been killed. And then it's also a way to ensure and a reminder, you know, a stark reminder that this is what we are doing the 16 days of activism for. So some people have lit a candle and have read the names of people in their community that have been killed. So whatever makes sense for you. And then we have material that from We Will Speak Out and the Faith Action Collective that you can use and you can access on our website, and you can print that out and put it alongside And we have like a crisis contact bookmark. We have 10 things that faith communities can do, 10 things that men of faith can do to end gender-based violence. We have how do you support survivors of domestic violence. So it's kind of a how-to guide. We also have a safety plan for leaving a violent relationship. And then domestic abuse guide for faith leaders. How do you support a rape survivor? So there's many of these resources alongside the red chair that you can place. So anybody that's going by could just pick them up and then have a means of seeing how they can, you know, do more. So this becomes, I think, you know, a powerful way to be able to be activistic and move beyond just awareness and to really, again, honor the lives of those victims and survivors and to see how we can come alongside and be stand in solidarity, but also then offer support. So offer support to the victims and survivors themselves, but also offer support for faith leaders and for people in faith communities that are thinking, what can I do differently? How can I help? And so these resources would be able to point you in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, Marisha, I was looking at the We Will, you know, I keep on saying We Will Shout Out, but it's actually We Will Speak Out, isn't it?
Yes, it's We Will Speak Out. I think sometimes we do shout out. We do need to scream it from the rooftops at times, but we really want to create safe and courageous conversations. So speaking deeply with each other.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm looking at some of your resources here. I don't know if you know if you have them in front of you, but this one I'm looking at says 10 things faith leaders and members of faith communities can do now to advance gender equality. Okay, so, you know, it's that positive focus. And it says things like, say it as it is. Gender-based violence is a sin. And teaching male dominance is a heresy. Both violate God's image and human dignity. And then it's equip yourself to become champions of gender equality. Embed life-giving gender relationships. Develop and adopt gender policies to institute a gender transformative agenda, which you mentioned. You know, and I think that some of our churches are scared to talk about this. Maybe the Catholic Church is in an awkward position because there is that reputation that there has been child abuse and mostly children's abuse, but it's also women abuse amongst in all faith communities. So you know the resources that come from this is from the We Will Speak Out group. These 10 things that faith leaders can do as skills development programs, safe platforms. Support for women and survivors. Transform your place of worship and faith institution into a safe place for all. That's the kind of thing that I'm going to send out, or I am sending out to, you know, to different communities. So the Faith Action Campaign, is that a separate initiative? You know, how does that whole kind of program come together with We Will Speak Out and the Faith Action Against Gender-Based Violence?
So whereas We Will Speak Out is the registered organization, they are also our legal and fiduciary partner. The Faith Action is really a movement. So it's an interfaith movement. It's people from throughout South Africa, really throughout the world, who have come together and have said, you know, even though we have our different organizations, we have our different faiths, whether we're Catholic or Reformed or Hindu or Muslim, we want to also recognize that as people of faith, we have common values of love, of care, of respect. And how can we still, in our spaces, but also as a people who are united based on those common values want to see a better and safer and more harmonious South Africa. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference. So it's really interrelated. We Will Speak Out is our secretariat, and they help us with, you know, making sure that this movement of people from wherever you are gets embedded in different contexts and localizations. So it's moving to not just, you know, having things on the top or senior faith leaders, but even going down to community levels. How does this go to the families, the very families that you're talking about, Tony? How does it then become, you know, embodied, those life-giving relationships become a part of some of the things that we are talking about in our, in the top level as well?
Yeah, yeah. What are some other initiatives? I know that there is a survivor program, and there's also a faith leaders training program, and that is part of the We Will Speak Out, isn't it? Or does it doesn't really matter?
Yeah, it's part of both. So, I mean, Faith Action is, again, the movement. So it's people from different organizations volunteering, and then We Will Speak Out helps with our, you know, helping us make sure that this movement has a good running of it. And so we offer what we call the Faith Leaders Gender Transformation Program. And what this is a year-long learning program, and it's a non-traditional learning program that equips and accompanies faith leaders and institutions in their journey to become credible stakeholders and driving personal change, but also institutional change towards becoming more gender GBV competent, and making sure, how do I implement some of the learnings into my faith communities? Mm-hmm. And very excitingly, very soon, by next week, we'll have a call for applications where we will be sending this out and then having people apply to the program. And then by next year, February 2026, we will kick off the program. And so it's things that you traditionally wouldn't learn in seminary when it comes to the gender justice work. It's about really re-looking at our sacred texts, looking at the Bible and seeing what are the life-giving ways that we've missed, you know, in Scripture, because we're always reading it through one lens and not seeing that here are some life-giving ways in which we could use to really deal with what we are seeing when it comes to gender-based violence. And it's helping faith leaders come alongside them and walk a journey. So it's really, we have mentors that walk a journey with them in their personal and community transformation, and then seeing how they can put this practice into their organizations. Yeah. So it's quite an innovative program. I would say there's nothing like it that I've heard of. And so if anybody's interested, to please reach out on our website of We Will Speak Out or the interfaith to ngbv.org.za, or to contact myself. You can get in touch with Tony and we can let you know more about
that. Yeah. Won't you please repeat some of those details? Because I was going to ask you, how would people apply if they wanted to join, you know, any of the movements or attend and participate in the courses?
Okay. So if you go to the We Will Speak Out website, which is www.sosa.org.za, or www.interfaithngbv.org.za, or if you would like to send us an email, I'll give you the email of our national co-coordinator, which is Daniela Genrick, which is coordinator at We Will Speak Out, which is www.sosa.org.za, my email address, which is programs@wwsosa.org.za. And send us an email, or if you get onto the website, you would, in the next week or two, see a call for application for the Faith Leaders Gender Transformation Program. Or if there's any other aspect that you want to get involved in, we have different working groups, a whole range of issues from inclusivity, from faith communities, children and families, to positive masculinities, to reconciliation, that people could get involved in. And we do different programs and projects in those working groups, and we are hoping to do more next year. So we would love for people to join and see how they could be a part of this wonderful movement.
Right, yes. You know, I was part of the beginnings, you know, in the 2020s.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
I've kind of gone, you know, on my own way, stuck with family, specifically with family rather than focusing on women. And I'm really pleased that, you know, the Faith Action is focusing very strongly on the need to build family relationships of all kinds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to ask you? And you've given me the contact details. Yeah, you know, the program that Mahadi and Reverend Lucas were hoping to develop was more looking at training family leaders in their communities. You know, the faith leaders is more for the religious, I would say, the pastors and so on.
Yes.
But we were looking at, you know, in the Catholic network, and it's not really very strong, but it should be. We have parish family ministries. So that was the level at which we were hoping to work. And maybe we must talk some more about that. But we're running out of time. What can we offer our listeners right now about the 16 days, about the empty chair, and about praying and reaching out maybe to people who they know are in difficult relationships? You know, Pope Francis, in one of his documents, actually writing about forgiveness, said that we have to, both men and women, look at the ways in which you are contributing to the pain and breakdown in order for us to be able to forgive. And, you know, I've got a little prayer here from him in his booklet on the joy of love. The joy of love for families. Just a short prayer. I'm going to read the prayer and then you can have the final word. Holy Family of Nazareth, may families never again experience violence, rejection, and division. May all who have been hurt or scandalized find ready comfort and healing. Make us once more mindful of the sacredness of the family and its beauty in God's plan. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, graciously hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. That's a beautiful prayer. I, too, find myself in quite a dynamic family and know the demands and the joys of being in a family. So I'm a mom to four really dynamic children. And as you said earlier, Tony, married to Seth. And what we are finding, I think, as we talk about this, you know, of how we could do better as a family, how can our families be more harmonious. And I think we have to recognize that we all have our issues. That all families, you know, have the ups and downs. But what becomes important is, I think for myself, is what can I do? What's within my power and control to shift and to change? And that means really looking at, and I think you were saying this earlier, what is it that I have in my hand that I can do to be of benefit and create and cultivate that space so that my family can be, you know, more harmonious, can be more happy, more loving and kind. And it would mean that I really take care of the things that I need to, especially if, for example, I grew up, as a survivor, a person in childhood that experienced abuse. And if I didn't deal with some of that, then I was definitely going to be, hurting my own family. And so in many spaces, I think for people to really see, what are the things that I need to still deal with? What are the aspects that I need to find healing with? And the more that you do that, the more likely you are to be able to create a good grounding for better relationships. And so that would mean even with my partner. And so if there's one thing that I could say to listeners is really to attend to that, become more aware of what are the things that you still need to develop, that you still need growth in. And once you know that, then acknowledge, these are my shortcomings. These are the things that I need to. And then attend to that, address that. Maybe it's, the praying and meditating that you need to do more. Maybe it's therapy. Maybe it's implementing, some self-care that you need to. I'm reminded of, when you often travel in the airplane, they tell you, put on your own oxygen mask before you put on your child's. And as parents, as people, adults, we think, okay, we need to keep doing this for our families and our children. But if we spend good enough time really speaking with God, really asking God, where is it that I need to grow? Where is it that I still need to reveal things about my own self that I need to change and transform? And so at least start there. Because the more healed you are, the more healing you will bring to your family.
I'm afraid that is as far as we're going to be able to take it. And maybe what we're saying is we need love and we need peace in order to achieve a sense of joy, which is God's plan for our families. I was going to play a little music about we pray for golden peace. Well, maybe we'll have a moment just to think about that. Lord, we pray for golden peace in our families, in our relationships, in our own hearts, and in our own homes. Thank you, Marissa. And I hope that we will talk again. And that's all for today.
Take care.
God bless you.
And also God bless you and the listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah.